Episode 13 of The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. I, of course, the aforementioned Patrick Netherton, excited to have you with us, man, riding the high from going to the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival. The smoke mailbag is going to be voluminous, so get ready for that at the end of the episode. No interview today. I want to talk a little bit about what goes into judging barbecue. I have been a certified barbecue judge now for several years, and I want to discuss a little bit about what we look for as judges when it comes time to actually sit down and really grade a barbecue, whether it be brisket or ribs or chicken or whatever. So we'll talk a little bit about that and maybe some of the different do's and don'ts that go along with that. We'll also get into a little bit of a trip I just went on. I had an opportunity to train and teach the youth that are upcoming in the high school ranks. We'll talk about that for just a bit. And as always, we'll have the smoke mailbag where you get an opportunity to weigh in. I want to thank again such a tremendous crowd, Daniel Vaughn, that helped us out and got us in and made sure we were taken care of with the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival. Want to thank all of the pitmasters who joined in and were a part of what we did. And by the way, going to get all of those guys on, the guys from Rosemeyer. We'll get the guy from Parrish Barbecue, Holden Fulco. We're going to have a whole bevy of folks that will join us as this podcast progresses. Again, don't forget, if you want to be a part of the smoke, you want to be a part of what we're doing, that is so easy to do. All you have to do is send us an email at patrick@thebbqhound.com, patrick@thebbqhound.com. You can find us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook. We are at the BBQ Hound. And of course, you can also text us or send a voicemail if you like, and we can play those. That is 318-657-0HAM, 318-657-0426. That's the ways that you get in touch with us, and we would and like it if you would. Be sure to get in touch with us. That would be really cool. All right, so two things that we need to get to before we give you the smoke for this week. One, had an opportunity to go up to my alma mater. For those that don't know, I am a Ouachita Baptist University graduate. That is in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. It's about 70 miles southwest of Little Rock on I-30. You may have seen some of OBU this week. As game day, ESPN's game day was trying to figure out where to host their show for this week, and they had decided ultimately to do Notre Dame at Pitt. But there was some talk about them potentially going to the Battle of the Ravine, which is Henderson State at Ouachita Baptist, or vice versa. This year, it's Henderson State at Ouachita Baptist. Why that's significant? Because they are two universities that are in the same town and are across the street from each other. The home team dresses in their own locker room, and then they walk across the street to the visitor, you know, to become the visitors. In this case, Henderson State, the Reddies, they will dress in their own locker room. They and their staff will then walk across Highway 67, which is a two-lane highway. They will cross the highway and end up in the visitors' locker room at Ouachita Baptist. So just one of the coolest rivalries around. And it was almost the site for College Game Day this week, which is pretty awesome. Again, they ended up choosing Notre Dame at Pitt. But I had an opportunity to go up there on a Wednesday as Chris Babb, who is the head of their new media curriculum at OBU. They have a really very forward-thinking, very advanced television and broadcasting, radio and television broadcasting curriculum that they call the Ouachita Sports Digital Network, OSDN. And they've got a truck that one of their parents donated the money for. And their truck is as good as any truck you're going to find in terms of live broadcast production. They've got all kind of facilities within the communications department. They do podcasts, all of that stuff. Well, they also host a basically seminar, if you will, symposium, whatever you want to call it, for high school students. And this year they had over 400 high school students. And Bab and I, who's, again, the head of their department, Bab reached out to me. I've done this for the last couple of years. And he reached out, asked if I would come in and talk about doing play-by-play, which I do for Northwestern State, and if I would talk about doing podcasting, which is great. I've only had 12 episodes of this podcast. This is obviously number 13, but pretty hilarious that I would get asked to talk about podcasting. So went in there, talked about play-by-play for a bit, and then I got to talk about podcasting, which is pretty hilarious. Again, this is not a sports podcast, right? Maybe we brush up against some sports here and there, but by and large, this is a barbecue podcast. So it was pretty funny that I was being asked by the Ouachita Sports Digital Network to talk about podcasting. Had a nice crowd on hand, a couple of hundred students that were there listening in, and then gave out a whole bunch of stickers when I was done. That was the best part. I happened to have a few stickers left and went ahead and gave away a bunch of the Barbecue Hound stickers while I was there. But it was a great time. Hopefully some new listeners. So if any of you are listening that were at that conference at Ouachita Baptist, please reach out, say hello. It's pretty cool to be able to influence or warp the minds of the future generation of broadcasters. So we did that. That was awesome. But what I want to discuss today, more on the barbecue side, is I want to talk about judging barbecue and what we look for as a certified judge. And my certifications are down here. If you're looking on the YouTube channel, if you're listening, I've got a certified barbecue judge, certified table captain, and I have the certified judge badges that I get to wear whenever I am at any sort of competition. But I kind of wanted to go through hopefully people will understand why when someone says we have fall off the bone ribs, that's a bad thing, right? I want people to understand a little bit about where we come from in the judging realm. All right, so the first thing to know is there are certain objective measurements in barbecue. In judging, right? It's not simply subjective, though there is a large subjective component. There is also an objective component. What is the objective component? It is basically how it's cooked. All right, there is a go-to, if you will, or a baseline, or a goal that you should have certain things cooked certain ways. Most of the time when you're judging, it is chicken, it is ribs, it is brisket on most of the circuits. You can also, there's also pulled pork or just pork in general. Sometimes they give you the loin medallion. Sometimes they give you pulled pork. And then there's whole hog competitions. I've judged a few of those here locally. So there's really a lot of different things that you can be a part of to judge. But I'm going to stick with the two main ones, and that is brisket and ribs. I will be honest with you. Chicken is my least favorite thing to judge, and it's my least favorite thing to eat. There is some really good barbecue chicken out there. I've had some that I really enjoyed, but by and large, chicken is my least favorite thing to consume. I'm a Trinity guy, ribs, brisket, sausage. There are certain places where the pulled pork is really, really good. I had some really good pulled pork on my trip down through Houston a couple of weeks ago. So pulled pork grows on me a little bit, but if in order of things that I rank in terms of what I enjoy eating, brisket is number one, ribs are number two, sausage is number three, and then pulled pork would be number four in terms of proteins I eat, I should say. Brisket number one, ribs number two, sausage number three. I would put turkey as number four because there is something delightful about a smoked turkey. People that really know what they're doing smoking turkey have some incredible, incredible tastes and bites and juiciness. It is amazing. But I would say turkey number four, then I would go pulled pork, and then way on down the list would be chicken. Again, it's just a personal preference. All right, but let's talk about brisket and ribs and how we judge those things. All right, so when we go to judge, the very first thing we judge before we ever grab a knife and fork or our use our hands or whatever, depending on what sanctioning body that is doing it. The very first thing you do is look, right? You eat with your eyes. As we always like to say, the camera eats first, right? When you get a nice platter, you take a picture of it. But in our case, we eat with our eyes because part of what you judge is appearance, right? And so sometimes you get boxes that are super elaborate. They'll have all kind of greenery in them and different things, you know, maybe put some garnish, you know, lemons or whatever to try to spruce it up. Some governing bodies, some sanctioning bodies will not let you put anything in terms of garnish in the box. It's simply the meat. Right. So typically when you open up, let's say, a box of brisket, you're going to have brisket sliced and lined up, and it's going to hopefully look very nice. Right. Very uniform. You want to see the smoke ring, even though we're not allowed to judge the smoke ring. One of the things that KCBS talks about in the criteria for judging is that a smoke ring can be faked. So the smoke ring is not sacrosanct when it comes to judging brisket, at least within the KCBS family. Again, you can fake a smoke ring enzymes, certain things you can inject, which will give the appearance of a smoke ring, even if one is not actually there. Most of the time, though, you know that these places or these contestants, these cooks understand well enough how to cook that they're going to give you if it's a smoke ring, it's going to look really good, and it's going to be a legitimate smoke ring. I can't say that I've ever had one that I would say was really faked. But anyway, so you know, it's briskets lined up. There's the smoke ring. There's bark. There's the coloring. A lot of times they'll put a little extra jus on it towards the end to kind of give it a sheen. And you vote based on how appetizing it looks. That's not objective. That's subjective. Do I think that this brisket looks delicious? Do I think that these ribs look delectable, right? Is the box messy, or did they take their time and clean it up? Usually when you get ribs, there's a stack of three or four on the bottom and then crisscross stack of three or four on the top. Obviously, they have to have enough ribs in the box and brisket in the box for the number of judges that are handling this. So again, that is very subjective. Does the box look, does the food, is the box neat? Do they have it stacked well? And then is the protein itself, does it look appetizing? All right, so you give an appearance score. Then you move on to the objective portion. And the objective portion is, how is it cooked? Right, so in a perfect world, you're going to get to bite a rib. It's not always perfect. Sometimes you have to use a knife and fork and cut meat off of a rib, which is my least favorite way to. It's obviously sanitary and all of that, but it is my least favorite way to consume ribs, right? When you get a rib, you want to get that thing and bite at it and, you know, gnaw on it, whatever. You don't want to have to use a knife and fork and cut a rib, cut some meat off the rib. It also, just in terms of the objective grading scale of how it's cooked, it also gives you a little bit of a disadvantage, because a rib that is cooked perfectly, when you take a bite out of it, all the meat should not come off at once, right? Fall off the bone ribs are bad. I hate to tell everyone, but fall off the bone ribs are not good. That means that you've overcooked the rib. Right. So what you want is you want a little bit of resistance. Then as you take the bite off, the meat stays on the bone and there is a bite mark left. Right. So the meat doesn't fall off the bone, which means it's overcooked. And you don't want to have to really really have to grind at it and work at it to pull the meat off of the bone. Right. So the objective portion of rib judging is, is the bite there? The meat doesn't all come off the bone and it's not too tough. You just want that little bit of resistance. Then the meat comes off and it leaves you a perfect bite. That's objectively a perfectly cooked rib. Let's go to brisket, and we'll come back to the subjective parts in a second. Brisket, right? Anyone who's ever seen brisket, sometimes you pick it up and the whole thing crumbles and falls apart, or I tend to eat brisket with my hands, not with a knife and fork. I think it's better that way. And you want to be able to hold up a slice of brisket and it stay together, right? If you pick up a slice of brisket and it all falls apart, then it is overcooked. Conversely, if you go to take a bite of a slice of brisket and it is tough and you're having a jerky, you have to work at it, then it is undercooked. Also, can be sliced incorrectly, right? If you slice with the grain instead of against the grain, it makes it tougher and more stringy. It has the long fibers as opposed to the short fibers. I'll give you one quick story from judging a barbecue competition. By and large, everything we get is okay, right? There's going to be some that are really good, but most of the baseline is usually edible. It may not be the best tasting thing in the world, but it's still okay, right? Most of the time when you go to a competition, people are not turning in bad brisket or bad ribs, things that you actively don't want to eat. Well, I'm here to tell you, one time there was a competition and it was chicken ribs and brisket. And in order to be considered for the overall grand championship, you had to put in something in every category. And it was painfully obvious. And again, this is all anonymous. It's a double blind thing. I have no idea I still don't know who made this brisket to this day. But it was very obvious that whichever team this was, just put in a brisket to have have something in the category so they could try to win grand champion. I'm sure they were very excited about their ribs and chicken, probably just didn't have as much excitement for their brisket. So I get this slice of brisket and I pick it up and the first thing you do is the pull test, when you're trying to determine objectively if it's cooked correctly. What you want is as you go to pull that brisket apart, you want it to just hold a bit and then give way. And you've got two separate pieces. You don't want it to, again, easily come apart and crumble. You don't want to have to work hard and pull hard. It's not tug of war. It is supposed to, again, just hold a bit and then come apart. Well, this slice of brisket that I had in this competition, not only did it not come apart, I put all of my strength, and I'm a big dude, I put all of my strength into trying to pull this brisket apart, and it would not give. I even twisted it like you would a wash rag when you're, you know, wringing out a rag. I started twisting the brisket back and forth, and it still wouldn't come apart. I have never in my life seen a slice of brisket that was that difficult to deal with. I didn't even try to eat it. At that point, there's no point. It's just going to be like chewing on rubber. I think I might have tried to take a bite, and it also was not tasty. You have to give it a taste grade. It was not tasty. So ribs, again, you don't want them to fall off the bone. That means they're overcooked. You don't want to have to really fight with them. It means they're undercooked. You just want a little bit of resistance. The meat comes off and you have a bite mark. Brisket, you want it as you pick it up and do the pull test, you want it to hold itself just a bit. You exert a little bit of force on it and it comes apart. And then that means it's tender and perfectly cooked. Now, the subjective things within grading these proteins. The subjective things among grading these proteins is simply taste. It's whether you like it or not. And this is the part that is, I've got to imagine, the most frustrating thing for a pitmaster or a competitor in one of these competitions, because you have 8, 10, 15 judges, some of the big ones, down in New Orleans. They've got 30 judges that go through everything, and Hogs for the Cause down in New Orleans, they may have 30 or 40 judges who go through and pare down the original ones. And then they have another set of judges who are the finalist judges who get the last 10 or 12 or whatever and grade those. So, the problem you run into if you're a competitor is, taste is subjective. It is taught subjectively. No one can legislate what you think tastes good, right? A lot of people like sweet. You'll find a lot of times that on competition ribs, they are very sweet, very high on that sweet factor. Personally, I'm not a massive fan of sweet ribs. I like a complex flavor profile. I want something that hits all of my mouth, all of my taste buds. And one of the things I suggest if you ever find yourself judging in a barbecue competition is eat with both sides of your mouth, because your taste buds are all around your tongue. And the stuff that's on the left side of your tongue is different from the stuff that's on the right side of your tongue. So make sure that if you do happen to judge a barbecue competition at some point, that you eat with your entire mouth. So I'll take a, you know, bite of a brisket, eat on the right, eat on the left, kind of swirl it around. That gives me all of the flavor profiles throughout my mouth. And I like a complex flavor. I want something that is not just one note. I don't want it to be overly spicy. I don't want it to be overly sweet. I'm more forgiving of overly savory, because I tend to be an umami guy, a savory guy versus a sweet or salt or spicy guy. But there are plenty of opportunities for these pitmasters to get in there, these competitors to get in there and create a more complex flavor profile. Love the ones where you get it and it's one thing initially, and then the back end hits and it's something else. Most of the time that usually ends up being sweet. I talked about Andrew Kasky at Bad Wolf Barbecue in Ruston, his blueberry gastrique pork belly burn-ins. I take a bite, initial bite, I'm tasting that blueberry gastrique, and it's way too sweet. I'm thinking, this is not good. This is not a good bite. It's overly sweet. But then as you break down that pork belly, that bacon, the saltiness starts to come through and the umami starts to come through, and it balances it out. And that's what I look for. Again, some people, they like sweet. Some people like spicy. Some people like salty. Some people, you put a grain of salt in front of them and it's like you just, you know, they're like the Exorcist. Their heads are going to start spinning around. It is so subjective. Right now, I think a lot of competition barbecue is more on the sweet end than anything else. But for me personally, my tastes, I will always prefer and I will always grade more highly a complex set of flavors as opposed to simply a one note, a sweet, a salty, a savory, a spicy, whatever that may be. Same for me with ribs and brisket. I want variety of flavors. I want it to be umami first and then sweet on the back end, or sweet first and then salty comes through, or what, you know, spicy and then that sweetness comes in and balances it. For me, balance is the main thing when it comes to cooking. But that has got to be the most frustrating part of being a competition cook, is there are however many people, let's just say, you know, you go through one judge's table and it's 8, 9, 10, 12 people, whatever it is. And I like complex balance. The person next to me likes sweet. The person next to them likes salty. The person next to them thinks salt's of the devil, right? Like that's the problem you run into. You have to kind of be all things for all people, or you have to have a table that is, you know, by luck, chance, whatever, somewhat unified in what they like to eat and what flavor profiles they enjoy. One other thing to note about judging, it's some of the more, you know, the non-sanctioned, the more relaxed competitions, we'll talk about things, the judges, you know, we'll discuss what looks good, what doesn't look good. We don't ever tell each other what to score. But in the sanctioned competitions, the KCBSs of the world, you are not allowed to discuss, right? You've got your score sheet right in front of you. You mark down your appearance score. You don't say, oh, that looks really good, or oh, that looks awful. You don't say any of that. You're not there to influence the other judges. Everyone has their own opinion. You get to the objective part. How well is it cooked? You don't go, oh, man, I'm having such a hard time pulling this brisket apart. You don't do that. You simply mark down your score and move on. So I do want people to understand that in the sanctioned barbecue competitions, the judges and the folks that administer, the administrators of the competition aspect of things, are really good about making sure that people treat it fairly, treat it correctly. They give everyone their just due, and that there is no sort of, hey, I don't really like this box 4. You shouldn't like it either, right? Like that doesn't go on at the sanctioned competition. So understand, every competition I've ever been to was handled well. The ones that are non-sanctioned, you know, we've had some ones here locally, you know, we kind of have fun with it. We still don't know who the people are. It's a double blind thing. You don't know who the competitors are. You have no idea whose box you're eating. And so you go through and you, you know, and again, the non-sanctioned ones like here locally, we tend to talk a little bit about things. We don't tell each other what to score, but we do chat about things. But at the KCBS level, all of those sanctioned competitions, there is no talking. It is treated as professionally as it possibly could be. Again, I hope this gives you some insight into what judging is and what we do when we judge barbecue. I take my responsibilities very seriously when it comes to judging barbecue. I think that is a big deal. I think people understand that it's a big deal. These competitors have put their money, but certainly their time into this. Some of them stay up all night. They don't get much sleep, you know, because the turn-ins start early and there's usually a whole day of turn-ins for all the different proteins or sides or whatever they're doing. So we try as judges to be very respectful of the time that these competitors have put in. And I hope that everyone understands that taste judging is subjective. Cook judging, how well it's done, is objective. And I really wanted to get that across to you. All right, coming up, we've got the mailbag, the smoke. A lot of reaction to our trip to the Texas Monthly Top 50 Barbecue Fest down in Lockhart. We'll get some of that. And definitely would love to hear from you. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, patrick@thebbqhound.com. If you have any questions about judging, right, I'd love to hear from you. I'll answer whatever you like. So send those our way. patrick@thebbqhound.com. Find us on Instagram or Facebook @thebbqhound. Or leave us a voicemail or a text message, 318-657-0HAM, 318-657-0426. Back with the smoke right after this. It's time for The Smoke, where we get your insights into what we've been talking about, the things we've been discussing. Again, multiple ways for you to get in touch with the show. You can hit us up @TheBBQHound on our YouTube channel, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can also, if you like, go ahead and send us a text or an email. Email is patrick@thebbqhound.com. Text message is 318-657-0HAM, 318-657-0426. Couple of Instagram comments to start with. T-Chef92 said, where can I get, that shirt is amazing, where can I get one? He was referencing my barbecue shirt from Riverport Barbecue that looks like the logo from the NWO. If you're a wrestling fan, it says BBQ in the old NWO font, and then underneath it said #RiverportBarbecue. Stephen Joseph at Riverport is the one who had those produced by a guy who was in the business next to him. Who sold a lot of merchandise and things like that. That business has subsequently shut down. So to be honest with you, I really don't know how you can get them. I would suggest you get in touch with Stephen Joseph at Riverport. He might be able to find some or order you some or whatever the case may be. But that's one of my favorite shirts, man. I love the old NWO style shirt, BBQ, with the Riverport Barbecue on it. So yeah, if you can get in touch with Stephen Joseph at Riverport Barbecue, he's on all the social media platforms. He might be able to find a way to order you one of those shirts. So definitely try it and see if you can make it work. All right, one more comment on the reel from last week, and obviously our show from last week. Harold Pitmasters got a chance to see Ed Harrell. Said, great meeting you this weekend. I went straight to Rosemeyer's for ice cream on Sunday, and man, it's delicious. Great show as always, and looking forward to the next one. Texas Cook said, Hutchins does it too. They also have free peach cobbler and banana pudding, though. And yeah, that's one of the things. The free banana pudding at Hutchins is not to be missed. That is for sure. It is pretty awesome. The Lost Local SA said that bulgogi dog, boozy banana pudding, and cucumber kimchi were fire. Favorite bite of the day, and I tried them all. And Eaker Barbecue, who was had a bunch of the day one of the Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest, Eaker Barbecue responded and said thank you very much. Robert Sierra Barbecue, three fire emojis. QITUPUSA said, good times. Thanks for the great food. Good talking to you guys as well. Barbecue Fiends said, great meeting you. I'd mentioned that was my favorite bite of day one was Barbecue Fiends. Also, we'll have some YouTube comments coming up in just a second. Want to get the last few of the Instagram comments. I think we may have gotten all of them in there. So there you go. There's your Instagram comments. A lot of comments on the YouTube channel as well. We will start with, well, one of the stars of our interview, our shorty interview segment from last week, Al Wasserberger of Behind the Food TV. If you didn't see it, and if you go back and watch it if you haven't, or you may have noticed that we didn't answer any questions. We just kept asking each other questions, and that was the bit. I hope everyone understood that. I talked to Al, and we said, you know what, let's do an interview, a quickie interview with each other, but instead of doing a legit interview question and answer, let's just keep asking each other questions and never answer the question that the guy asked. And so we did that for like a minute and a half. I thought it was a pretty funny bit. I hope that y'all enjoyed it as well. Al jumped on. He is at Behind the Food TV on YouTube. Definitely make sure you follow him. His channel is fantastic. He said, what a fun episode, especially the cameo by me. Seriously, Patrick, I'm so glad you're doing this. It's a great show. I responded with, your cameo was the best interview I've ever conducted. And at Web Browsing chimed in with, I can't get over the depth of that conversation. Real insights. Yeah, that was kind of the point, was we were not going to answer any questions. We were just going to keep asking questions of each other. And I thought, the bit worked. I really did. I laughed. So I hope everyone else did as well. At Smoking Tar Heel 3003 said, great content, Patrick. Great show. Al's number one in my book. Great interviews. I'm subbing now. I responded with, thanks for the sub. Tell all your friends. Love Al to death. He's doing great work in the barbecue world. And he really is. He really is. At Carnivore Karen on YouTube said, howdy, with the cowboy emoji. My first time here. Great podcast. Al sent me over to you. Parentheses, I've followed him for years. Bar A is one of my favorites. Yeah, Bar A is fantastic, man. They are doing such incredible work up in Montgomery. And shout out to the Abercrombies, man. They are getting it done. I responded to Karen, glad to have you here with us. And then I also had mentioned that about stickers, right? I've got all these stickers that are sitting on my desk, and I just can't figure out how to display them. There are so many stickers that I have here, and I don't know what I'd like to display them behind me somewhere, but as of right now, I don't know how to do it. Carnivore Karen suggested, for your stickers, make a smoker facade for your shelving unit out of foam board and attach the stickers to the smoker. I responded with, dang, now I have to be handy. I'm so bad at it, but I love the idea. And she responded with laughing, crying emojis. And that's really the issue. Ideas are one thing. Execution is another. I am not handy in the slightest. When I change a light bulb, I like give myself a day off and pat myself on the back and treat myself to something, because I am the opposite of handy. So, you know, when I change my air filters, man, it's a vacation. And we are having a blast, because I'm just so bad at it. But I would love folks to continue to give me ideas on how I display all of these stickers. I want to try to do it up towards the top of my bookshelves with some sort of facade. I think I can make it work, or at least put it on one of my bookshelves, because I'd like to display all of the stickers in the background. Hey, one other thing, we were talking about sharing the page, getting the word out about the Barbecue Hound. When we hit 500 subscribers on YouTube, I'm going to do a shirt giveaway. I already owe a shirt anyway, so I'm going to go back and take care of that. And I'm also going to give away maybe one or two more shirts and maybe some stickers as well. But I want to keep growing this channel. So please share, please like, please subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. We are sitting right now about 479, I think, in terms of subscribers on the YouTube channel. I'd like to get to 500. Once I get to 500, then I will we'll give away some swag. How about that? So help us out. Share, like, follow, subscribe. It's all free. It doesn't cost you anything. We would love to have you be a part of what we are doing. Don't forget, you can find us not only on the video side on our YouTube channel, but also on the podcast side, Apple Music, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, all of those various platforms. All right, so get us to 500 subscribers. Let's get the word out. Let's make this thing as big as we can. Thank you to everyone who came up and said hello at the Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest. Thanks to everyone who sent in emails. Oh, I do have one email. I'm sorry. I'm wrapping things up and I forgot I've got one email to read. This is from Coy. Hey, Patrick, let me start off by saying love the show. My neighbor recommended your podcast show to me, and I can't stop listening. I'm a barbecue connoisseur, too. I'm a backyard cook and dabble in a little bit of everything. That has led me to making my own barbecue sauce. I would like to send you a couple of bottles of my sauce I make. Send me your address or P.O. box number, and I'll get your sauce to you. Keep up the great work. I'm local to Shreveport, so maybe one day we can meet up for good barbecue. Coy. Coy, that's awesome, man. I will definitely send you my address to allow you to send me barbecue sauce and or stalk me, whatever's on your mind. But thank you so much for listening. Glad your neighbor recommended it to you. Tell your neighbor on the other side to start listening as well. Let's continue to spread the word. Keep sending in your comments, your questions, your thoughts. I'd love any questions you have about barbecue judging and on the judge certification side. I would love to answer any of those. That's it for this week's edition of the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. We'll see you next week.